Okay, this is going to be lesson number 5, and it's on going on to perfection. And today we're going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, immediately, what probably should come to your mind that may not have before is when we say the word baptism, we should all now understand that it means immersion, a total covering. And so when we see baptism, it's synonymous in the Hebrew mind, which should be in our minds also, with a status change. And it should be synonymous with the fact that we have been to a place of death and we have now been resurrected into a new walk. And that's exactly what the immersion of the Spirit is, the baptism of the Spirit. It is a status change, and it is given because we have come to a place of death, and now we are entering into this lesson to learn exactly what this baptism means. And I will tell you, it's such a vast subject. There is no way that we'll even begin to exhaust it with the next 35 minutes, but we're going to hit some of the high points, and then in the preceding lessons we'll cover them in more depth. In all four Gospels, so here we have the Tanakh, the Old Testament. We have 400 years of silence, 430 years of silence between the time Jesus begins his ministry, the time the New Testament begins to be written. We have John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ, seen as coming in the spirit of Elijah, that he would come before that great and fearful day of the Lord. And of course, we see that going to happen again in the book of Revelations. But he is making straight a highway in the desert for our God to come unto us. This is a fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. So if you pick up a New Testament or the New Covenant, then it all four writers begin with these words, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." And we found out the many reasons for baptism. "But he that comes after me," referring to the Messiah, the Mashiach, Jesus, Yeshua, "he's mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And so I'm wanting us to see, because there's so many teachings, that this was not spoken to 12 men. This is spoken to the multitudes, that Jesus is coming to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So this is the opening of the Gospel of Matthew. Let's go to the Gospel opening of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verse number 8. And we see where, once again, it's recorded what John the Baptist is speaking. He says, "I indeed have baptized you with water, but he," once again referring to the Messiah, "shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost." Now, you're going to find out that very, very, very few things are recorded in all four Gospels. Very few things. You won't even find the birth of Jesus in all four Gospels. So this subject is so important that the way God begins His Word in the New Covenant is giving us the reason, for one of the reasons why Christ came. He came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. I'd never heard this till I was almost 30 years old. Let's go to the opening of Luke 3:16. "John answered, said unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And then, of course, the final gospel, John chapter 1, verse 33. "And I knew him not," here's John the Baptist again speaking, "but he that sent me to immerse with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." So we see where all four writers tell us the Messiah that's coming. If I were listening to John preach and I were not in an American evolved denominational church, then what would I hear that Jesus was coming to do if I was listening to the Bible? Well, the Messiah is coming to baptize me with the Holy Ghost. But isn't it amazing that many of us could be raised in church all of our life and never hear that? Do I have an amen or a witness? Okay. And so in John chapter 3, we're now going to go on and look at the words of Yeshua, Jesus. And we have Nicodemus that comes to him. Nicodemus was a member of the 71-member Sanhedrin. He was a man that was very schooled in the Word of God. He was one of those that had the authority to bind and loose. And so he comes to Christ, and Jesus says unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered and says, "Truly I say unto thee, except a man be born of water," and I like to point out here, "and of," not "or." "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So we see where we have already learned about water baptism. But now we are learning about the second baptism that Christ came to give, which is spirit baptism. And he says, so except a man's born of water and spirit, speaking of how we are born again. Now, born again is not anything new to them, once again, because they understood that when they went into the mikveh, that they were seen as going into a grave or into the womb. And when they came forth, it was a status change, or more or less a type of a born again experience. He says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it is, listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And I want to make a real brief comment on that. The word for spirit in Hebrew and in Greek is the same word for wind or breath. And so, but also the point that Yeshua is trying to make here is you can't see wind. None of you have ever seen the wind. None of you have ever seen air. You've heard the effect of it. You've seen the result of it. And this is the way the Spirit is. When someone's born again of the Spirit, you'll hear and you'll see, but you will not see the Spirit itself. When John saw the Spirit descend on Yeshua, that was not an open vision. There were other people around. That was just a sign given only to John. And it was just simply to identify that this was the one that he was looking for to come. And then Nicodemus says, how can these things be? So we find out that we live in an hour where educated people don't understand how to be born again. And even Nicodemus himself, who was a law abider, he was living according to the 613 commandments, he did not have a full cognizant, or he didn't have full recognition of how and what Jesus was trying to tell him. So in lesson one, we learned that to be a follower of God, that the first requirement is that we repent. And we saw repentance as a typology of death. We saw that in the blueprint of God represented in the tabernacle, later in the temple, that repentance was at the brazen altar. It was a place of death. It was the first place that you came to when you walked into the outer courtyard. And then we saw, in lessons 2 through 4, we saw where, what do you do with the dead body? You bury it. So now it's all going to be very logical as we put it together. So then in lessons 2 through 4, we learned about immersion or burial, buried with Christ. So we die, then we're buried. And it was interesting that the laver, the washing place that priests had to wash or they would die, and I won't rehash the other lessons, that it was made out of the looking glasses of women, the brass looking glasses of women. They didn't have mirrors back then. Place you saw yourself for what you were. And today, without recapping our lesson on repentance, we understand that there's only one requirement to receive the Holy Spirit besides believing Yeshua is Messiah, and that is repentance. To try to lead anyone to the immersion of the Spirit, they don't have to be water baptized. That's an act of obedience to the commandments of God. But to get someone to try to be Spirit-filled that's never truly repented, you're wasting your time. Because that is the one requirement besides belief, is we must have repented. Okay, so now we are seeing where we've got death in repentance, we've got burial in water baptism, but who wants to stay dead? Interesting, and there's so many avenues that we can go down and will. When Jesus looks at the multitudes that are performing a funeral and he says, follow me, and one says, well, I've got to do this, he said, let the dead bury the dead. See, you're already dead, you just don't know it. If any of you all saw Apollo, I think it was 13 or whatever, where one of them couldn't go up because they found out he had cancer. He was a dead man walking. And there's movies called Dead Men Walking. That's what you are. You're already dead. You just don't know it. Second you were born, you're dead. And those of you that were here Wednesday night, it was a phenomenal lesson. And we will continue on it this Wednesday night on the body, soul, and spirit. You're going back to dust. Doesn't matter how many vitamins you take, how long you can stretch out life, you're already dead. And when we understand the biblical concept of where we really came from and what we really are, then we begin to understand how Christ did not come to condemn. He came to save. But he gets a bad rap by the deceiver. Let me get back to the lesson. So now we see that this immersion of the Spirit is the born again experience. This is the experience where now we're moved from the grave to a new life. This is the power to live in the Spirit that Adam lost. And so that is the purpose of the immersion of the Spirit, is to bring us now into the powerful life that God created for us before the fall. And to do that, we have to denounce our love of this world, our love of sin. We have to die to ourselves so we can be born again into the kingdom. Does that make sense? Next slide. In Matthew chapter 12, and I'm going to give you a few scriptures, and you may not see them exactly like I'm using them, and I'm probably wrong, you're probably right. This is a very controversial scripture. I'm going to express to you that I would have never understood it if I hadn't been born again of the Spirit. Jesus is speaking. He says, when the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he walks through dry places. Now that's important. He walks through dry places. He seeks rest. He finds none. Then Jesus said, but I will return, he says, and this man says, I will return to my house from where I came out. And when he has come, he finds it empty. It's been swept, it's been garnished, it's been cleaned. Then when he goes, he takes with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell therein, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so, it shall be also unto this wicked generation. Now, I'm going to elaborate in my opinion on this for just a moment. I believe this is a perfect explanation of Pharisaical living for God when all you've ever known is death and burial. And what I see here is the fact that this was my experience as a teenager whenever I came to know Christ and was never told about the immersion of the Spirit. And at 13, gave my heart to the Lord, and at 15, was off into a life that we won't even talk about for years to come. But because after the experience of repentance, which is a true, true, powerful experience, after the experience of being obedient to God, which is absolutely pleasing to the Lord, but then you enter into man-trained religion, and you learn how to try to live for God, but you aren't connected to God through His Spirit. And eventually, many people say, when we come back to ourselves, or we try to stay in church, but we go ahead and hide our sin, Jesus looked at the Pharisees and He says, you hypocrites. He says, you close up heaven and earth. And He says, you won't enter in, neither will you allow men to enter in. And He said, even worse than that, He said, after you make one convert, they become twofold the child of hell. I have to get them out of what you've taught them so I can teach them correct doctrine. And one of the things that we really have seen, now it's changed immensely in the last 40 years, is immersion or spirit baptism is very controversial, and you have as many people's opinions as you do churches on what it represents. It represents, biblically, the new birth. And all I can tell you is say, well, you have to have it to be saved. Jimmy Swaggart had a wonderful saying I used to listen to. He's been saying it for 40 years. You don't have to have the Holy Spirit to be saved, but I don't know how you can be saved without it. What does that mean? Well, it satisfies a lot of opinions. So, the point is, this is what Christ came to give us. This is the new birth. This is the born-again experience. So, what we see is when we've repented, that means we've emptied ourselves of who we were. We truly finally saw what we are. Then we bury that dead man. But we remain dead unless we've been resurrected by the power of Christ. We can be resurrected by the power of positive thinking. And a lot of people believe because they've been through a ritual, that's all they've ever been turned on to, is the power of Christian thinking. They've changed their paradigm, but their flesh man hasn't changed. The body's still alive. The body still has desires. And therefore, Shaul, Paul says, we speak mysteries, because when you try to talk to someone that's really never been born again, they can understand parts of what you're saying, but they've never experienced. It's like me trying to express to you the color green. It's like me trying to express to you what a jalapeno tastes like. The best way I can tell you is take a bite or open your eyes and see this. There's just some things. The Bible says it's indescribable. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. 30 years, bragging on God here, 30 years I've been drinking from this well of living water. And I want to make this statement. And all this pleasure of sin that I was in, and Greg and I were talking the other day, somebody says the world doesn't have anything to offer. Well, you've never been in the world. The world's got a lot of pleasure to offer. I don't know where you came from, but man, I found a lot out there when I was living in it. But if this was not better than what I had found, I'd be back out there in the hog waller. Are you with me? But I'm going to, and please don't, whoever's listening, don't let this offend you. But if I would have had to try to do this in my own power without the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I would have only had two ways to go. Let my ego make me a church deacon and try to rise to the top of the chain of religious power while I still fornicated and still this and still that and all these other things, God help us. Or I would have given up altogether. Because you can't fool flesh forever. Period. And if you've never had access to the... Oh, I'm preaching. Let me get off the lesson. So God's answer for the dry place. John chapter 4, verse 10. So we see when Jesus is speaking about a man that's died, a man that swept his house, but he doesn't fill it. This is why Christ came to fill us with the Holy Spirit. So we see in John chapter 4, then he says it's a dry place. And Jesus tells them, he says to this woman at the well, he says, if you knew the gift of God, the Holy Spirit's a gift, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink also, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. In Hebrew, it's the mayim hayim. Sounds like a repeat of wandering in the desert for 40 years. That has been shall be. And so the way we know that we have correct biblical doctrine is if it aligns with our schoolmaster. And so what we're going to see now as our minds flash back to what we know the schoolmaster taught us is he took a group of people, he first delivered them with the blood of a lamb. Next slide. 1 Corinthians. I'll say it like the Bible says it. So here's Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And he's trying to convey to a group of Jews that are so used to living according to their religious rote of the law. And the law was spiritual, but we aren't. The law is still spiritual. Anyone that doesn't know that, you need to read your Bible. He writes his laws in our heart. I still obey the laws, but I do it through the power of God. Okay. Moreover, brethren, he says, I don't want you to be ignorant how all of our forefathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Cloud, wind, air, breath, spirit. Sea, water. They were all baptized in the cloud and in the water. Two baptisms. He is now bringing this to the forefront, to the Jewish mind. They understood water baptism. And now he is getting them to understand the typology of what Christ came to do with spirit baptism. They did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink that same spiritual drink, for they drank of the mayim hayim from that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So what we're seeing is, this is such a vast thing, and when I tie it all together, you say, I never knew it was all in there. That this living water, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, is seen all the way back as we wander through dry places. You died if you kept in the dry place, and the only way you could survive to get into the promised land was to drink from the spiritual rock. You either understand what I'm saying or you don't. So in that last day, here we have in John chapter 7, still on the subject of spirit immersion. It has so many facets, like a precious jewel. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, and he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Fill that dry place. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture said, not as your church teaches, not as your grandma taught you, not as your religion brainwashed you, but he that believes on me, as the Scripture has said. It's a crime if you say you're a Christian and you don't read the Word. That's pretty stout, but I said it and I'm smiling. Because you're trusting someone with your salvation. That's a pretty big step. He that believes on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, the writer, this is written after almost 40 years after Christ spoke it. This he spake of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. And then he clarifies it. They couldn't receive it when he was on the earth, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus had not yet ascended to the Father and been glorified. Now that aligns with exactly what we see. Christ came to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, but before he could do that, he had to overcome death, hell, and the grave. He had to be able to bring again into the realm of the earth that we live that was stolen from man because the enemy seduced us out of it. So therefore it was banished from the earth until a new chess player came and could win back the prize. And the only one after the fullness of time of 4,000 years, no man ever lived a sinless life. So the Son of God was manifest from the Father, the Holy Ghost overshadowing Mary. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. The Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. Jesus wasn't glorified. So Holy Spirit baptism was not available for all men until the resurrection of Christ. Luke chapter 11, Jesus says, "And I say unto you, knock. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened." You will find that spiritually hungry people, you cannot stop them. They will find God one way or another. Those of you that want to be fishers of men, that's always been my prayer. I pray God lead someone hungry to me. And I'm not spiritual, but I can be alone and someone walk up and they won't leave and they don't know why they won't leave. And a lot of times I wish they'd leave because I'm carnal. And then I realize, no, it's I prayed God send someone that was hungry. They don't even know why they're there. They're there because I'm supposed to tell them what I'm saying right now. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Because their soul, man, is being drawn. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men nigh. Now, we use that for a church service. But if your life is lifting Christ up, your witness, and I tell many times, probably make you mad, I say, witness is not packing a 5-pound Bible and an I Love Jesus sticker on your car. Witness is your lifestyle. And you're going to find out if you'll quit trying to be religious and you'll just be real, you'll be much more effective. He says, so ask, seek, find, knock. Action words. Everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. I'm sure you've read ahead, so I'm doing this for the good of the tape. And to him that knocks, it shall be open. If a son will ask bread of you that is a father, you're going to give him a rock? If your boy is hungry and he asks you for a fish, you're going to give him a snake to eat? Or if he asks you for an egg and he's hungry, you're going to give him a scorpion? He's got to be hungry. If you then being evil... Boy, Christ cut right to the chase. See, we've got to understand what we really are. If you can ever see yourself for what you are, you're self-serving, can justify all your actions, you are the hero of your world. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to they that ask? If you've never received the Holy Spirit, you've got to ask yourself, are you seeking? Are you knocking? Are you asking? And when I received the Holy Spirit, I wanted it more than I wanted life myself. Some people think they're seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit because on Sunday occasionally they'll find their way down to an altar. You don't even know what you're doing. When you really want God, you will not give up till you... It's like the next breath of air. Every one of us in this room has as much of God, and listening by tape, has as much of God right now as you really want. You're kidding yourself. When you want more of God, He's available. But you're going to have to. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. You want more of God? Quit running to seminars. Quit reading books that someone wrote about God to make your $20. Get in your prayer closet and say, I'm not coming out till I have an experience, till I have a revelation, till I have a vision of you, Lord. And when you mean it in your heart, you won't have to stay there for days. He's not a torturer. He's just waiting for your heart to mean what your mouth is saying. And that, another lesson. So, John chapter 14, I'm sorry. John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking, and here's another place. It's also called the Comforter. The Holy Spirit has many different names because it has, I told you it's a vast subject, has many different functions in our lives. And I will pray the Father, Yeshua speaking, and He will give you another Comforter. The Holy Ghost brings peace. That's the thing I love about it. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. I did drugs to find peace. But it wasn't lasting. Even the Spirit of truth, there's another word for it, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is also given to lead and guide us into all truth. You may have been raised with a certain thought process in the religious upbringing that you had. But when you begin to get into the Holy Spirit, that's what causes men and women to say amen. Because the Spirit in them is bearing witness with what's coming out of the voice that's speaking the truth of the Word of God, and their spirit saying, I'm in agreement, I'm in unison with that. Amen. And so even though you may not understand Bible, even though maybe you've not studied Bible, even though you may have beat yourself up because I made you feel like a dummy for not reading more, it doesn't matter if you have biblical knowledge. If you're on the right track to God, when truth is spoken, regardless of your religious wrong upbringing, if it was wrong, the Spirit of God leads us into the Spirit of truth.
Amen.
And you talk about fortunate. Let me tell you something. We in this room have no idea how fortunate we are that we've all got a lot of friends that didn't answer the call you answered. And why are you so blessed to believe this stuff and they're not? We're blessed. And he says, even the Spirit of truth that the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so what we see is Yeshua is with them bodily. But God never has more than one manifestation and he deals with man at a time. When the body of Christ leaves, then Christ comes again. When you receive the Holy Spirit, do you receive the Spirit of Christ? Yes or no? When you receive the Holy Spirit, do you receive the Holy Ghost? Yes. The Spirit of Christ? Yes. The Spirit of God? Yes. How many spirits are there? One. They're all synonymous terms. Next subject. So John tells us Christ came to baptize us with the Holy Ghost. Jesus tells us it's living water, it's rest, it's refreshing, it's being born again. But it gets even better. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, my earlier comments about the man walking through dry places or myself at 13 gave my heart with everything that church had to tell me that they knew if truth. I got saved forever. But I was one of the worst sinners you'd ever seen. If I was saved, the devil himself was going to hell, heaven. But the point being is this. I'd never received the power, and it's not power to work miracles. It's not power to prophesy. It's not power to lay hands on the sick. The first thing it's power to do is live above sin. Amen. But the greater thing than that is, when I'm immersed into the Holy Spirit, all things old pass away, and behold, all things become new. Because you see, I've been born again, and that that had me seduced and that that had me bound is no longer a part of me.
Amen.
Therefore, I'm set free. And he who the Son of Man is set free is free indeed. And you talk about a great thing. And please, women, don't. And my wife's not in here. I know you won't tell her. And don't anyone be offended. I don't remember. I've never lusted after a church woman in my life. But you holding your daughter's ears? She can go outside. Because I know you don't let her watch anything this deep. But what we see is I had a spirit of lust. I couldn't look at a woman and not lust. I know I'm probably the only one ever did that. When I received Christ, he changed me from the top of my head to the... Now it's my sister's. And when I see women do certain things, I think, man, that's someone's daughter. Where used to, I said, ooh, you know. I'm just trying to point out that this is a total change. When I looked at... I never was into alcohol much, but I could look at drugs or what and think, that doesn't tempt me. So if you are someone that's had to live with temptation all these years, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If I had to... If I every day I was tempted to do things, man, I wouldn't have made it. I'm not tempted. Because we are alive in Him, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem. Now, you know, I learn a lot from personal observation, more through the Word. But in my own life experience of 30 years now of living in this wonderful ability to have access to the Father through the Holy Ghost, then what really blesses me is to know in all that time, 30 years, I've never fallen off the wagon. And there were a lot of wagons I was on. And that's all I'm going to say. And I'm not saying that to brag. I mean, yes, I've sinned. Yes, I've come short of the glory. Yes, I've made mistakes. But I haven't had anything I couldn't stand right here and tell you I did. My wife and I don't have anything to hide. We haven't been running around on each other. We haven't been this or that or the other. And we're not great people, but it's a testimony to the power of... I'm still reaching people for the Lord.
Amen.
Not because I'm a pastor, but because my life speaks. This is what I love. I do a lot of things. And I have to do a lot of things. I'm married. I have to make money. I have to this. I have to that. I have to be... But if you want to know what I love, be around me and eventually you'll find out.
Amen.
Won't have to be long. This is what the power of the Holy Ghost is. It's the power to... rise above who you were. And then it gets into a lot of other things too. So, first place in the Bible that people are baptized in the Holy Ghost is Acts chapter 2. Now, there are people filled with the Holy Ghost in their mother's womb, very few. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was made available at times. Samson, it came on him. He was powerful. The priest, the king, the prophet. This is why we hold a very awesome office, because God has made us kings and priests that will reign and rule through this new covenant. So here we go now. Jesus told them, go tarry in Jerusalem. You're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when the day of Pentecost is fully come, first place in your Bible, Acts 2, 1 through 5, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Nicodemus, it's like the wind. See, everything Jesus said, and then I could go back to what part of the Red Sea and was there escape route. Everything will begin to come together in pictures. So he said, Nicodemus, you want to know about what it's like to be born again? It's like the wind. And so here we go. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire. It sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. When we get into this other tongues business, there's a lot of different ways to interpret that through different church teachings. But we're going to give you the scripture and see what you think about it. This picture that you have is an artist's rendition because they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues. But you see where tongues of fire sat upon each of them. In the Old Testament, the fire fell on the living sacrifice the day that Solomon completed the temple. It was the outward sign that their sacrifice had been accepted by God. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, this, please don't take this wrong. We teach people to accept Christ, but now you need to get God to accept your sacrifice. See, the Holy Ghost means that God's accepted your sacrifice. You can accept Christ, but it doesn't mean He's accepted your sacrifice. And I'm not trying to make you not saved or not have a relationship with the Lord. But this is what this is seen as. And so when the fire fell and lit the fire on the altar, then God told them, He said, now it's your job to make sure it never goes out. Once we are filled with the Holy Spirit, I can lose that. And every day I can decide which spirit will I feed. And I'm pretty good at feeding the carnal man, but that man that I feed the most is the one that will grow the most. I'm dual natured. Let me go on. And you'll see here where they're filled with the Holy Ghost, begin to speak with other tongues. We'll get into this tongues issue in later lessons. Isaiah 28 verse 9. So we're going to jump back to the Old Testament. Has tongues ever been used before? Because if it hasn't, then we're off into something that's not correct. Second place in your Bible that the word doctrine's used. I believe it's used 31 times. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Now, what's one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit? Lead and guide us into all understanding. True. So we're going back to the prophecy of what's happening in the New Testament. Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? It's interesting. The first place the word doctrine is used, if you're taking notes, is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 2. And he said, my doctrine shall fall as the rain. It's interesting that Spirit-filled people talk about the former and the latter rain. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So God giving a foreshadow and a typology of Him pouring out the Spirit that fell on them on the day of Pentecost. He said, they that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Now, if you don't catch what he's saying there, he's just saying, those that I'm going to teach knowledge and those that I'm going to make to understand my teaching. 40,000 different denominations, one Bible. We need to understand His teaching. Amen. Then he says they're going to have to come away from the breast. They're going to have to grow up. Come away from the mother. Amen. Amen. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people. What people? It started out the people that would understand doctrine and teaching. The Bible's of no private interpretation, but I will tell you, in my opinion, when you get truly baptized, Holy Ghost-filled people and people that are taught against it, you can set the same scripture in front of them and they'll use this scripture to prove this while the other one uses this scripture to prove that. Why would that be? For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest, the comforter, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. This same word spoken to the whole group. One group receives it. The other group doesn't. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. Just because you read the Scripture doesn't mean you understand it or that you're saved. The hypocrites, the scribes, the Pharisees, they paid tithe even down to the mint and the grains of grain that they had. And they were the dividers of the law. And Jesus told them, you're blind. You're deaf. You're both going to fall in the ditch. So there's two groups of people, and he's not speaking about sinner and saint. There's those in relationship born again, and there's those that are in religion. Which are you? And that's a challenge. Matthew 12:43. So what's he say? When the unclean spirits got, he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. I've looked at many Christians through the years of counseling with people in other denominations, and they'll sit and they'll look at me and say, well, I want you, next time you talk to God, ask Him, what's this all about anyway? And these people hold positions in churches. In other words, they're fed up. They're tired. They're burnt out. They've been in religion all their life and they haven't got anything to show for it, and they've been married a long time now, and they wish they could go ahead and have an affair with this one and go out and try this and do that. I'm being honest with you. I'm fulfilled. I may not be always happy with my relationship with you or my children or my life, but I'm fulfilled. And I can work on those things. Because He said, when you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. If I get thirsty, I know where to go back to. All right, I'm about done. Next slide. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit. We're in the Old Testament. We're prophesying about this Holy Ghost baptism, because either Jesus' word is not true, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John knew exactly what they were talking about when they said He's coming to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And then if He said that, and Jesus says it's going to be like the wind, there's going to be something you see and hear. And then in Mark 16:15-16, when He says, says, go and teach, He says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow they that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. This speaking in tongues is a dividing line in the churches today. It may be in your life. And that's why I'm teaching this series. You need to understand what God's Word teaches and then make a decision. And it shall come to pass that afterward I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants, on the handmaidens of those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now I'm jumping back to Acts chapter 2. After they are filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time ever, the group that is baptized in the New Covenant, the New Testament, and there are these that watch this event take place, and they're all amazed and they're doubting, saying, why are they doing this? Others mocked and said, they're drunk. But Peter stood up. Remember Peter? He's the one that Jesus looked him in the eye and said, Peter, you left your boat, you left your wife, you've left Northern Shore Galilee, you've walked off from everything, but after you're converted. Peter says, I'll follow you even into death. I'm religious. Well, we know the story of what happened that day. So Christ, foreknowing, says, after you're converted. The word converted is interesting. Look it up. I believe it's used 9 times in your Bible. And so he stands up now. He's not afraid. He didn't care what they thought. He's just been filled with the power to go beyond what he could have done before. And Peter stood up at the 11, lifted his voice and said, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, don't you understand? We're not drunk. This is that that's spoken of in the Old Testament. So this is a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. Last slide. In the law it's written with men of other tongues. So here we've got Paul quoting in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 through 22. In the law it's written with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign not to they that believe, but to they that believe not. Prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. And boy, that's going to be a lesson on that scripture. Mark 16, and he said, Jesus speaking, go into all the world, preach the gospel. I already quoted this. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow they that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. Now, has this tongue thing ever happened before? Okay, in the Old Testament, the whole picture is God used the tongue to separate men. Because they were, the Bible tells us in the Tower of Babel, they had one purpose. That was to make them a name. Therefore, He uses the tongue to separate the nations. So what's He going to do? The reverse order. On the day of Pentecost, that's why it tells you. They were all with one mind and one purpose. But this time it was not to make them a name. It was to glorify the name. So now He uses the tongue to bring back men from every nation into one body. That's why Peter... Well, I don't have time to get into that. So, Acts chapter 10, verse 45 through 48. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also is poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How do you know this? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be immersed, which have received the Holy Ghost?" Now, I didn't write this. Some will listen to this and say he's tied up on tongues. I'm reading the Scripture. The Holy Ghost was poured out, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. In other words, how did they know? Because the people sat there with a smile on their face? Or one of them decided they'd go like this? No. This has been around since the Bible. You're just 2,000 years later after the evolution of religion. Nothing's changed. A cow is born today the same way it was born 6,000 years ago. A Christian's born again today the same way they were born again 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He came to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. All right. So we see where this baptism of spirits, a vast subject, we see where in these series I'm teaching on Wednesday night about body, soul, spirit, an amazing, I wish everyone could be here. I know you can't, you work. But we see where the Spirit serves God. And we see where the soul serves the Spirit. And we see where the body serves the soul. And the reason that we have to have the new Spirit is to save our soul. Without going into that. So what we look at as we enter into our lesson next week, we see Adam, he lost the Holy Spirit. He was, the Bible tells us, he was a living soul made by God. But the second Adam is Christ, he's made a quickening spirit. He brought back what Adam lost. We have our Old Testament example. We'll get into this lesson next week. Why do you think Cain, the firstborn's a murderer? Why do you think Esau, God hates Jacob? Why do you think that Aaron builds a golden calf? Because he's Moses' elder brother. And as soon as Moses leaves Aaron, the firstborn nature comes back. The whole Old Testament is a typology of the firstborn never receives the birthright, so that this that I'm teaching you today will make sense. You must be born again. Your firstborn nature was never found pleasing in the eyes of God. Even further point, and I've got to quit right now, is the fact that when God Himself decided to send a death angel, who's He going to kill and only kill? The firstborn. You must be born again. I hope you've enjoyed this. Acts 22, verse 37 through 39. Say, what do we do? Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter stood up. It's what we're learning here first and going on to perfection. Because without you understanding this, how are you going to be a help for God in the work out there? Then Peter said, "Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." It's a promise to you. It's a promise to your children. It's to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Romans 14, "For this kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost." Amen.